sometimes it's like you have to go first with your parents and be like, you know what? I'm going to do the work to understand you and then give you credit for it. And then they're like, wow, we can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you have to like parent them and be like, we can give each other credit. Doesn't mean I'm going to like stop and be homeless. Like,
right. Yeah.
Doesn't
absolutely
mean I'm going to like not do anything. With your coming out, was that something that you had like on your heart and you were like, you know what? It feels like the right time and this feels like the right thing for me. Or can you talk a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't have the experience, although maybe some of my relatives and cousins might be like, are you sure? But I don't have the experience of someone who in high school and university was like, I have this secret and I can't tell. Mm. I literally always dated boys, always was the first to make a move. I was that girl. I was like, I'm going to be the first to kiss.
No more.
I'm flirting. I'm going to do all that.
Feel that.
So, so when I, you know, I always felt though in all of my relations that something is just a little bit locked inside me and I don't know what it is. And so I used to chalk it up to, I have trust issues. You know, maybe it's just the cultural stigma of this. I chalked it up to everything else. And I think a lot of it had to do with, there was not a single openly queer person in my high school. Growing up in Toronto, in university, I knew exactly one queer person and he was identified as a man and I was so unlike him. You know, he was so gay and he used to be like, oh, I can't even think about girls. And I was like, well, I don't relate to that either. And so I really just was like, maybe I haven't found the one. Moving to LA really introduced me to a bunch of people, you know, and introduced me to this idea of, no, there's a bunch of sexualities and there's a huge spectrum. And that opened my mind to, oh, maybe it doesn't have to be this extremes. Maybe I fall somewhere in the middle. And so it was about a month before my 30th birthday. And I'm sitting in my room. And I was like, I think I need to figure this out. Because I haven't dated someone in a long time. I know there's some part of me. And I just said it out loud for the first time. And I came out to my dog. And I said, I think I'm bisexual. And it was the first time I ever said it. And it felt right. Instantly, I was like, I lost 10 pounds off me. And when I tell my friends this, they're like, we're not surprised. And I'm like, well, I am. I'm surprised because I didn't come up to myself.
I realize that's like not the reply that you want.
It's not.
I have a friend. It's like, he's like, you don't want to hear that. When they're like, we knew.
Yeah.
We knew.
Because it's like, frustrating. Dude, because a lot of times that person is confused and they don't even fully know, right? And so anyways, being the type A person I am, that night I was like, open up my notes app. In the next 30 days, I will tell every person close to me this news. Because 30 was such a big age for me. You know, I don't know, when you're younger, you're like, by 30, you have to have it
fixed. Oh my God.
You know, this podcast is so wrong. By 30, you're going to be married and have kids and figure out your whole life. And and I was like, oh my God, I'm about to turn 30 and this is a huge part of me. I'm just figuring it out. How is this happening to me? So I told my parents were the last people on the list. I came out to them a week before my 30th birthday. Because I wanted to have this part of me out, but also I was like, they're not going to be mad at me the week of my birthday.
Literally, I had that thought. I was like,
happy birthday!
Yeah, exactly. I was like, and by the way, my birthday's coming up, so
it's like,
you can't be mad at me.
You're like, wow,
that would have been smart on my cake. Yes. Oh, that would have been good. If I could redo it, that's what I would do. Absolutely. But that's what I did. In 30 days, came to every person important to me, like my life is a movie. And then months after I told my parents is when I did that tweet where I told essentially the world. Wow. And that's what my parents were really confused about, to be honest. Why do you need to tell the world? And again, because my parents are from a place that's very private and community. And it was important for me, not that I think I need to put a label on myself and not that I think I need to now define myself this way, but it was important for me because in my life and in this industry, we very rarely get to control our narrative. And the last thing I ever wanted was for someone else to say this news or for someone else to post a picture. And I, more than anything, there's so many coming out videos of people crying. And there's so many very sad stories of people coming out, especially for South Asians. And I wanted to be like, you know what? I'm going to do a celebratory tweet being like, this is who I am and I'm proud of it. To show, you know, my fans and some of my younger fans that, look, there's a different way of being this person. It doesn't have to be traumatic. Even though maybe there's parts of it, you can also celebrate this. And I wanted to do that.
It's beautiful. Were you scared about the reaction from fans, from the industry?
I knew my fans would be supportive. And they were so supportive. I knew there would also be people online that were not supportive. And there also were. I know this because the tweet that bothered me the most was, oh, this is why you got a late night show. No, because that's how that works.
Yeah.
What I was most scared of, honestly, was, and I don't think I've ever admitted this, was the relatives and people in the South Asian community that I didn't tell that would find out through this way. That was really tough. And I also will say I have a lot of sympathy, even though I identify as part of this community now. I have a lot of sympathy for queer people because when I did identify as straight before, I don't think I realized this straight privilege that I had. Before I came out, the days leading up to it, I had so much anxiety. Like I couldn't sleep. I remember walking around in restaurants and places and I would feel like everyone was looking at me like they knew. And it was the most horrible feeling. And so after I did that tweet, the first thing I did actually is I went on a walk. I didn't even check. I went on a walk and I was like, oh, maybe everyone's not looking at me. And it was the strangest thing to really, you convince yourself like the world is going to turn on you and it won't and it doesn't. And that was a nice thing to realize.
It's also like, it's funny. It's like you're famous. So people are kind of looking at you. You know what I mean? It's like, in a way they are, but not for that.
Yes.
But when you have that story in your head, you're like, this is exactly what's happening. With your friends, you know, was that an experience that brought you all closer and felt like really nourishing for you?
Yeah, with some of my friends. Like I said, my friends are just so chill. So they were just kind of like, yeah, cool, whatever. Let's, I'm chill. It, more so with my family, I would say. I say it really made a difference with my family. And also just with myself.
Yes.
I learned so much about myself.
Yes.
And just even going back, I want to tell a quick anecdote because I want to show you how much it doesn't make sense in your brain. I had an audition a couple of weeks before coming out where it was to play. I didn't sign an NDA, so I think I'm fine saying this. It was to play. You know in Jumanji? So I don't know if you know, growing up, I idolized Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I still do.
That's
like my mentor.
So
I just am like obsessed. Like Like my biggest hero growing up. It was to play the woman in the red dress who like has an intimate scene with him in Jumanji. It was to play that role.
Yes.
So obviously I'm like, my life has led me to this
100%.
Moment.
You're like, manifestation works,
literally. So I walk into the audition. But on my mind, I'm like, I'm going to come out to my parents in a few days. I'm so stressed. So I convinced myself that this casting director knows that when I'm playing this role of kissing Dwayne, she knows I'm actually queer. And she knows I'm bi and she knows it's a different part of me. That is the only audition in my life I've ever choked, where I had to walk out of the room because I could not do. And that feeling of being like, this audition, this role. And that's actually the thing that drove me to be like, I can't do this anymore.
Wow.
I need to live my truth. But it took me that.
The stereotypical, it's interesting because it's like symbolic. Because you're the woman in the red dress. You're kind of like the damsel in distress. And it's like, you weren't, like you're kind of leaving that behind, like this gender normative role of being the woman in the red dress, the sexy woman that's like with the strong man. And that's really interesting.
I love that you put it that way because that's so insightful. I just didn't get to make out with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
How I don't think he'd be
a good kisser.
Oh my God. I can't hear this. I can't hear this at all.
It'd be like too angular.
He's perfect. He's perfect in every way. And I'm sorry because I know we're friends
crush.
Now. He's
just
my
like
mentor. And I'm sorry, Dwayne. I hate that I always have to talk to you about talk like this about you. But
you're like, I'm about to leave the interview. Don't worry, Dwayne.
I
hated them from the start.
I will die on this hill.
I kind of see him being a little delicate, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might bounce off his rock hard body, but like it will be delicate.
Oh, this is gonna text me about this. But yeah. I'm sorry.
I hope he listens. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, literally. He's like working out. He's like, oh, let's go, girls. I always just think about his cheats. His like
epic
cheats.
Oh my god, I know.
His cheat game
his
is
cheat,
fucking
oh
crazy.
My, his cheat meals?
It's like 60 rolls of sushi.
Yeah.
Four large pizzas.
The fact that you've watched this,
I
love.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh,
that
it's
stuff
amazing.
Like, that's like a previously disordered eating person, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like my life of restriction. I'm like, let's do this, Dwayne.
It's amazing. And I'm always like, you can eat that much?
Yo.
It's crazy.
Yo.
It's
think
crazy.
About your shits after that.
I enjoy you too. I like you.
Oh, I
would
this.
Like to be friends.
Okay.
Done.
Okay. Literally.
We're done.
We'll hang out at your house. We'll leave the shithole behind.
Nice.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30.
We hope you enjoyed waking up.
As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend.
We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.